Usually, members of Congress spend their August recess back in their home districts, laying the groundwork for a re-election campaign, meeting with constituents, and holding town halls. This year's a little different, with many Republican lawmakers avoiding those kinds of events. When they do face their constituents, there are some questions that keep popping up across the country. NPR's Sage Miller has been following some of these Republican town halls and has more.
It was a tense scene inside the packed auditorium as Nebraska Congressman Mike Flood faced the audience at a recent town hall. Many of those in attendance were vocal about Flood's voting record, especially when it came to the one big, beautiful bill.
So how can you justify taking health care away from 78,000 Nebraskans?
Flood had a formula. He'd say something positive about the bill while propping up a conservative talking point.
You have an additional $700 million coming into the state of Nebraska for Nebraska hospitals. Do you think that people who are 28 years old that can work and refuse to work should get free health care? I don't think that a majority of Nebraskans agree with you.
Out of 219 House Republicans, only a fraction are hosting an in-person or telephone town hall during the break. Ahead of the recess, the National Republican Congressional Committee sent Republican lawmakers a memo with crafted messaging and language to use when interacting with constituents, encouraging them to go on offense to sell the bill. In Washington State, Congressman Dan Newhouse held a telephone town hall. He was also asked about Medicaid cuts by voter Daniel Minella.
The bill also cuts out $700 billion from Medicaid, and millions of people are going to lose their insurance coverage. So what leads you to believe that this is good?
Newhouse refuted the notion people were going to be kicked off Medicaid by saying they have a choice.
If somebody's going to be benefiting from the American taxpayer and they're able to work, then they should.
Every town hall NPR listened to had a series of similar questions. Constituents brought up their concerns around healthcare, immigration, and tax cuts. Like when Wisconsin Congressman Brian Steil hosted two town halls. He heard this from Karen Fulbright Anderson during the in-person event.
It appears that people who are earning $200,000 and less are going to pay more in taxes. People who are making $1 million or more are going to be paying, getting big tax cuts.
Steil followed the script. Back up the president and reiterate parts of the bill that are more popular.
What was in large part done was keeping the 2017 tax reforms in place. That's the bulk of the bill. Then what we did is we added in tax benefits for middle income workers, $75,000 and below, as it relates to overtime and as it relates to taxes on tips.
Texas Congressman Keith Self also stressed the importance of the tax cuts during his in-person town hall.
No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, reduced taxes on Social Security, on and on and on. So I will tell you what I fought hard for, though, is tax cuts, and that was the crown jewel of this one big beautiful bill.
The uniformity in their answers is intentional because it's what the NRCC told them to highlight. Jim Curry is a political science professor who studies Congress at Notre Dame University.
I don't think the Republicans' messaging on the bill is particularly strong or effective.
That's because the bill doesn't just tackle one issue. It covers an array. And Republicans probably knew it was going to be an uphill battle. A July NPR PBS News Marist poll found 52% of registered voters disapprove of Republicans' performance in Congress. Although Curry says it was never going to be easy, especially for a new majority.
Because what almost invariably happens is a party sweeps into power, they're giving control of everything, and then they overreach, and they tend to overreach early by doing stuff that goes a bit beyond what voters maybe had hoped for or wished for or expected.
And with an eye on the 2026 midterms, Congress is back in session on September 2nd. Sage Miller, NPR News.